Hi, I'm Nate Tice. This is Football 301. Today, we're going to be talking about our predictions for the 2024 NFL season's top 10 defenses. Hello, welcome to Football 301. I am Nate Tice. We are doing top 10 defense today. If you did not listen to our first show, the maiden voyage of Football 301, me, Charles McDonald, and Matt Harmon went over our picks for the top 10 offenses. But for defenses, Matt bowed out. But Chuck didn't. Chuck said, bring me that noise. Bring me the monsters of the Midway. Bring me the purple people eaters. Let's find the 2024 version of the top 10 defenses. Charles, Mr. Forverts, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm actually having a pretty good Thursday. I started that HBO show Veep.
I'm
on season two now. It's pretty good. Later gonna go hang out with our mutual pal Keegan Abdu from NFL Next Gen Stats and see if I can finagle stuff from him as we embark upon our journey through the 2024 season. So it's all good over here. All good over here. Having a good one on this Thursday.
Keegan gets you that good stuff. He's got the real deep Next Gen Stat stuff for you. He's good. He's a good friend to have. Yeah. No, I like that a lot. Me not so much. My Thursday's boring. Since I do this show, and I'll probably do another show. I just finished writing. I feel like when you finish writing, I'm just like, I'm good. I'm good for the week. Like, I just want to unplug and do that. Check out my breakout players for 2024 season. Speaking of that, but we're going to go on to defenses. We're going top 10. We'll go in reverse order, starting with number 10. We'll list off each of our teams. We'll do some honorable mentions at the end, and away we go. Charles, you have the floor. You have honors. Who is number 10 for you for 2024?
Number 10, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I want to say, I feel we talked about this on the first show with Matt, where we were talking about kind of like the honorable mention tier and how, you know, some of the guys in the honorable mention tier could easily have a case for being in the top 10. And, you know, Ravens fans got really, really upset at that notion for whatever reason. But I feel like it's even more jumbled up with defense, or maybe I am just picky about like the defenses I like, because when I look at these lists, we have to come up with a top 10 list for, you know, defenses. But I don't really feel like there are 10 good defenses, you know, when you start looking at the collection of talent. Sometimes I feel like it doesn't feel as strong as the offense, where you look at some of these units. Yeah, as complete, like from top to bottom. Like there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of defenses that have a lot of good players, a lot of assassins that can go out there and make a play for you. But as cohesive units, there are only a few where I was like, yeah, like I feel really good about all 11 players here together. So for number 10 with me, I went with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who they had a weird offseason, but it did benefit their defense.
Don't they?
Yeah, because they got Joshua Hines Allen, I should say, excuse me.
Good job. I had to do that in my notes. I'm training myself. Hey, he wanted to change his name. I want to make sure. Yeah, I want to make sure to honor it. But yeah.
Well, look, I wouldn't want to be called the other Josh Allen either. So, especially coming off the season he just had. But getting him back in the fold is huge, because he solidifies their pass rush. He gives them a pass rush, really, in general. Because I think when you look at Trayvon Walker and where he's at, yeah, he had the 10 sacks last season, but he's more of a cleanup guy, or someone who's going to be your number two pass rusher instead of someone who's really causing havoc as the number one. So you got him locked up. You just got Tyson Campbell locked up, who, you know, he kind of got, I couldn't tell if he was a dig or not when he got labeled as the highest paid non-Pro Bowl cornerback ever. I was like, okay. In the tri-state area, right. A weird distinction, but he's a good player, and I think getting him back in the fold, if he can stay healthy, that's big. And Andre Sisco, I think maybe some people are a little too high on him. I saw someone say like Earl Thomas range before.
Oh, no.
On Twitter. But no, he's one of the better safeties in the league. So I think when you start looking at just this group together, plus the addition of Ryan Nielsen coming over from Atlanta and taking over the reins, that's going to be a big one. I think it should be big for the defensive line development too. I think the Jaguars should have a space in here as one of the 10 best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I threw the Jags in at number 9. I'm right there with you. Kind of your opening comments, this is a perfect example of this, about like none of these teams feel totally complete, these units, I should say. And they're a perfect example of this. Ryan Nielsen, the defense coordinator, is doing a lot for me. As you know, as a Falcons fan, what he turned like a very incomplete unit into a very well-playing unit with the Falcons. I mean, they even underlying stats was friendly to them. Not so much DVOA, but EPA success rate. They really fun blitz packages, simulated pressures, which really helps guys out. And also this kind of, at first, when you said the Andre Sisco thing, I thought you were talking to me because I put him as one of my breakout players. So I was And then you were like saying Earl Thomas. I was like, yeah, okay. I'm with you there. Yeah. I do that. But I think this defense is perfect for Sisco because he's aggressive. Right. He's heady. You know, he can play towards the line of scrimmage in a way. He can blitz. Like, he can do a little bit of everything, which is perfect for what Nielsen likes to do, especially like how he used Bates last year and all those things. But yeah, cool blitz packages. He likes pocket pushers up front, big, long guys. That's not so what the defense or the general manager likes, Trent Baalke, which is almost a meme at this point. But this is what he likes. He's from the Saints system. They like big, brawny, long arm pocket pushers. They don't want bendy guys that work around. They don't want finesse guys. They want guys that push. Well, that's how Josh Allen wins. He's great, kind of knifing inside, making it edgy. They got Eric Armstead. Travon Walker, you already mentioned him, but he had the quietest 10 sacks you'll ever see last year or not see last year. But that this type of defense, this and what Nielsen likes is
this
perfect.
This is good for him.
He's a pocket pusher. He has no pass moves. This defense coordinator is like, good. I'm fine with that. So, yeah, just looking at the rest of the roster. You mentioned Campbell's. He's a very good corner. It kind of is perfect that he got labeled as the non-Pro Bowl because he kind of is that tier. He's like kind of Pro Bowl-ish, but kind of just below it. Lua kind of solid, overpaid, little overrated. Devin Lloyd needs help, but I actually think this defense will help him. But yeah, that's where we're saying incomplete. So, but yeah, I also like Darnell Savage, probably one of two people in the world that still does. But they're going to put him in the slot, which is what I'm excited to see that. And maybe being blitzed, make him play forward. He didn't do well when he has time to think. He needs to just run and go. So this type of defense, I think, is good for him. Yeah, but... Yeah. I'm
Darnell, the overhang player, is a lot more exciting than Darnell, the deep safety. Because when he's back there and he's got to see and read things out,
it wasn't
going well for him. But in the nickel
spot,
he's
fast and not fast. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. With the Packers, at the end of 2022, he got to play a little slot. And it was kind of a revelation a little bit. And I think that's where I have that back in my mind. That's like, maybe we're going to see that a little more. Maybe I'm extrapolating a little bit too much. But yeah, the Jags are number 10 for you, number 9 for me. My number 10 team is probably my spiciest team. If I'm starting off, I like this one, though. I'm starting off a little heat. I'm going with the New York Giants at number 10. And I'm pretty fired up to talk about them. Another new defensive coordinator that I'm a fan of, Shane Bowen, coming from the Titans. I thought he did a lot of interesting things there in Tennessee. I think Vrabel kind of got some credit for it. And before that, Schwartz was getting some credit. But then this was kind of his show last year. They always were facing injuries, probably because Vrabel, they've always picked injured guys, and Vrabel probably runs hard practices. So I think that's why he had to deal with it. But he did a lot of interesting things, like him and Nick Rawls with Arizona, and I guess Spags as well with the Chiefs. They try to do a lot with three safeties, and I don't mean big nickel, like not just slot big guy, but more three safety shells, where it's kind of like three guys back there. Buda Baker with the Cardinals is like a rover back. But what he did with like Roger McCreary in the slot and did these other kind of interesting things, I want to see what he does with the Giants. So, but personnel-wise, love their front. Dexter Lawrence is awesome. I think they're going to be playing Raheem Nunez-Rocha's up there too. That's a lot of beef. Brian Burns, I think, is in a good spot now. You know, kind of a low-end one pass rusher. Thibodeau gets bumped down, and I think that's good for him. So that all is making sense to me, and I think they can play the run and pass equally well. Their linebackers are pretty solid. I like Arereke. Sorry, I'm going to mess up his name every single time. But then, DBs, it's their weakness. Deonte Bakes is a star. I really do think that. Newbin's a rookie. Might be interesting in this. Drew Phillips is a rookie. I think this is a perfect defense for him. He can be used like that McCreary role. So, yeah, I that's why I threw him at 10, not 5, not 7, just 10. I wanted to talk about him because I think they just have some cool pieces and a cool defensive coordinator that can maybe surprise some people.
The secondary is what scares me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Because, I'm with you on Banks, but I wouldn't be surprised if the rest of the group is bad, especially if you're going to start two rookies out there. And yeah. I don't think it needs to mean a whole lot about like their defense, but or not that they're like their future on defense, but where the Chiefs were when they won the Super Bowl with like all rookie defensive backfield plus Justin Reed, That's kind of an anomaly.
That's a great, yeah, but that's a good call. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, this is the kind of defensive line that I'd love to watch because these guys are gigantic. Dexter Lawrence, Jordan Phillips, Rakeem Nunez-Roches. You're not going to have a fun time running the ball on them. And even when you start getting to the edge rush, Kaydon Thibodeau, he's kind of in the class of Trayvon Walker where it's like it was a quiet, you know, high sack season where you're not actually getting a whole lot of pressures. Right. But now as the third guy with Lawrence and Brian Burns, that's probably even a better situation for him. And I think even on the Hard Knocks, they talked about how, you know, getting Brian Burns will add just the depth that they need probably to help KT break out a little bit even more. So I think this is a good front. I think the front's going to be kick-ass. I think Shane Bowen's a great guy to have for this front seven.
Yeah.
I just look at the secondary. I'm like, ugh.
I get it. I went on with the JM football guys, the John Boy media football guys, and it was their national show, but it was two Giants guys, Bobby Skinner and Justin Panic. And I was talking with them and I was like, I couldn't wait to talk about their defense. And they just go, what about the DBs? And that's all we're staring at. And I was like, yeah, I just keep staring at that front though. And I see Banks. I know. So it's maybe one of these. I mean, I think it's, you kind of mentioned the Chiefs with all the rookies. It's kind of the same thing where that was more like a mid-tier defense that got better, like overall as the year went along. That maybe I'm getting ahead where it's top 10. They're more like 16th, you know, somewhere around there, middle of the pack. But yeah, just want to talk about the Giants a little bit. So that, I already talked about my number 19, the Jags. Who do you have at number 9?
I would basically just copy and paste just about everything we said for the Giants and put it onto the Raiders as well.
Yes.
Because this is a defensive line group that I cannot wait to watch. Especially with Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby. Not only are they skilled, but those are two of like the rare Iron Man type of guys on the defensive line in the NFL, where Max Crosby, he played over the past two seasons, he's played about 95% of the Raiders defensive snaps. Christian Wilkins is about like 82 or 83% of the Dolphins defensive snaps. Yeah, dude, neither guy has missed a game. Well, Max Crosby has never missed a game. Christian Wilkins hasn't missed a game in like three seasons and he's played all these snaps. So that's good because I think they're going to have to lean on those guys because they don't have maybe the greatest depth of the world up front. If you can get something from Tyree Wilson this year, that would be big for them. But really,
I'm not ready to write anything about him yet because I just don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I have no takes on Wilson yet. I'm just like, that's a November thing.
Yeah, I watched a good amount of the season last year and it just incomplete, totally incomplete. I mean, he even got off to a slow start. But then you start looking at the secondary, it's just like, man, I don't know. I do enjoy watching Jack Jones. I don't think he's like, you know, a strap up every you know, man coverage corner, but he makes plays on the ball and he can take it the distance. And I think that even if you're not going to be like a super sticky man coverage guy, having those ball skills can be, you know, productive for you. But then the rest of the group, I don't know. Ja'Cory Bennett, that's still a work in progress. Trayvon Moehrig, I don't really feel any type of way about. So he's okay. Right. He's not. Well, I say that because he's not as good as I thought he was going to be coming out of TCU.
You were pretty high on him, weren't you?
Yeah, I was pretty high on him.
I wasn't watching DBs then, so it was good. I have no. That's an incomplete for me. So it's just pro take. That's it. That's all I got on it.
And then Nate Hobbs is like interesting, you know? Yeah. He's interesting.
Yeah, I like the DC too, Patrick Graham.
Yes.
He does some good stuff. No, they were my honorable mentions. They were just, I just missed the list. I'm with you. I Wilkins and Crosby is going to be sweet. Like, that's going to be a really cool pairing. I actually like the linebackers a little bit.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
I like Spillane, man.
I do too. He had a nice year. I know.
He's a tough son of a bitch, man.
Like, he is.
I like watching him play. I like watching
41
him play.
Might be the ugliest football number, but you know, sometimes guys are perfect for it. Kamara is kind of his own thing, but
you know, this is just me being way too online. But what I think of Spillane was when he was a linebacker for the Steelers. There was a point where Ryan Clark, who works for ESPN, he was going on about like how if he played in today's NFL, he would have no fear about tackling Derrick Henry, right? And this is in the lead up to a Steelers Titans game that they're about to play. And I remember they actually get to the game. Ryan Clark spends a whole week arguing with Titans fans about how he wouldn't be afraid to tackle Derrick Henry. Also, if you watch Ryan Clark play, he would not be afraid to tackle.
No, he wouldn't. He would not. That was the whole thing. No.
Right. That was the whole thing. But in the game, the Titans, they get down to the goal line and Robert Spillane, he absolutely annihilates Derrick Henry at the goal line. And Ryan Clark gets back on Twitter and is like, ha ha, see, look, I told you it's doable. And that was better than he was. But that's just my online brain.
And that's like your memory of him. And then you're like, oh, that guy. And he was 41. Yeah, that helps. No, I like this call. I thought this was pretty good. I'm glad we get to talk about the Raiders a little bit. Like I said, I already did the Jags. We'll move on to number eight, my number eight team, which I actually, you had ranked higher, which I was even shocked by, which I'm excited to talk about. This is the Bears. The Bears is are my number eight defense for this year. I might be low. This is one, they're deep. This is a defense that's loaded at every spot except for like the second edge player. But other than that, this team legitimately, in my estimation, I would say 10 of these players, 10 of their starters are above average or better starters. Like that, and not a lot of teams could say that. And really, it's, you know, you have 12 role players, you're gonna have a slot or like a third linebacker. I would say 11 of 12. I just really like how they're built. They play a lot of zone. They're kind of more of a sound coverage unit with some stuff on passing downs, but they have Montez Sweat up front, who was very good once he got to Chicago. He plays so hard. It's really fun to watch. I like their group of defensive tackles. Andrew Billings played awesome last year. Their two rookies last year, Dexter and Pickens, both had moments. I didn't think they needed to add there. Maybe, you know, some, you know, garbage vet, I shouldn't say that, stopgap guy, you know, just to throw in there for tags. But I can't believe I just said garbage.
He's awful.
I was trying to think of a different word than street, and my brain went to garbage because maybe it was talking about New York earlier and the rats that we were talking about. So I did SAT association there. But I would say the other edge spot, I know Bears fans made a big deal about it. They're going with DeMarcus. DeMarcus Walker. So it's fine there. But then you go three playable linebackers, Jack Sanborn, Edmonds, Edwards. Some teams don't have one, and they have three that I would say are above average, and I would say maybe even good or better. And then I think they have a great DB room. I think their three corners is the best trio of corners in the league. I'm willing to stand on that one. There's going to be another one we'll talk about that's pretty good. But Jalen Johnson, Tyrique Stevenson, and Kyler Gordon are fantastic. You can match when those three were on the field together and their defensive improvement. Then when Montez Sweat got added, then they added Phil Snow to help out with the defense as well. But I had Kyler Gordon as one of my breakout players too. I think he's great in the slot. It's kind of funny him and Trent McDuffie were teammates because they kind of do the same thing. Kind of funny that they were both teammates at college. And I like the back end. Yeah, so I wanted to list off just all these players because that's why I like them. I think it's a defense that doesn't outthink themselves, and they have a lot of good players. And if you look at it, there's back half of last year, they were a top six unit. So, yeah, I put them at eight, which was a little bit of a hedge. I almost wanted to go higher when it was all said and done, but I went with eight. You had them at six, though.
So, yeah, I had them at six, and honestly, I wanted to put them at five. But
right. Maybe I almost made them five.
Felt maybe I don't know, but it feels spicy. But I think the more you think about it, it's really not that spicy.
Nope.
Because also they've already put like proof to concept when they improved last year after they had the Montez Sweat trade. I will say, start of last season, it was looking a little spooky. It was looking a little spooky. Because like they had a point where Tremont Edmonds and TJ Edwards, they had allowed just about every catch in zone coverage to come their way.
That's right.
They were almost at 100% completion rate for like the first month of the season. And then they started to get better on their own. And then they add Montez Sweat. And that when it's really, really turned around for them. So I'm with you. I think the DB room is pretty damn exciting for them.
Yeah.
Kyler Gordon, if we're talking about big improvement guys, that's a guy who took huge steps
as a rookie. Oh my God.
Yeah. I remember after his rookie year, I was like, man, you probably need to draft his replacement to get him out of here. And honestly, they might have tried with Tyrique Stevenson, but then they ended up having two good corners.
Stumbled into it.
To build around. So you're looking at Jalen Johnson, Tyrique Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker. That's a damn good secondary that you can still also grow around for the next couple of years because only Johnson is on his second deal. So we'll see what happens with Byard. Looked a little barbecue chicken last year with the Eagles. But that could have been
a little slow.
Yeah, that could have been just, you know, Matt Patricia malfeasance. I'm willing to chalk it up to that. We'll see what happens this year. But this is a really, really good defense. And what really excites me also is you know, Dexter and Pickens had their moments last year, but those are also two guys with like huge upside that could really turn into like every down impact guys. I think especially Dexter, when you just start looking at the frame and the athleticism. So Bears, this should be a fun team. And I don't remember the last time I said that about the Bears, really.
I know. And there's been a lot of hype about the offense, and I agree. I'm excited about the offense too, but it's the defense that's going to be like what they, you know, where the Bears are going to be built around their defense, but that's kind of just what they're going to be. But this is the stat I found was Pro Football Reference will have like an expected points column. So positive is always better, but they'll have offense, defense, special teams. So Bears weeks 1 through 5, every game was negative. So that meant they had a negative performance by expected points. Kyler Gordon comes back in week 6. They hire Phil Snow week 6. And I think they've traded for Montez Sweat in week 7. But weeks 6 through 18, 8 out of 12 were positive. So that all 8 were in the back half of the season after all those moves were made. So I think it's just only going to continue. I'm pretty excited about this defense. But moving on to your number 8 team, who I actually was a little higher, and I'm excited to talk about this, but who's your number 8 team, Charles?
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Am I too low on them?
I don't know. Am I too high? I have them at number 3 for reference, and am I too high on them? Because I don't know. I'll let you go, because I'll tell you what brought me back. I'll tell you what brought me back.
I got stuck because I feel like, I honestly wanted to leave them off the list entirely.
Just I thought about it for a sec.
To be spicy. I didn't want to leave him off entirely. But I feel like you do have to kind of respect getting Diggs back. That with Bland, that's going to cause a lot of quarterbacks problems, just making plays on the ball. Obviously, you still got Micah Parsons. DeMarcus Lawrence is still a solid player. I still look at the middle of this defense, and I'm like, I don't really see a whole lot by the way of resistance here, unless Mozzie Smith gets a lot better than he was last year. If last year was just a blip on the radar for him, rookie struggles, I wasn't quite up to par, then that changes kind of like the whole math for them. But just based on what we know right now, I still think this is probably one of the weaker run defenses in the NFL. But man, they are going to make a ton of plays against the pass. And also, I think you can say that they might have upgraded defensive play calling this offseason.
That is what got me back. There it is. You hit it right at the end. I said I was originally going to have this is literally my note. I was going to have Dallas lower. Then I remembered Mike Zimmer is here.
Yeah.
It perked me up a little bit. And that's what brought me back. I think his defense is just because of Dan Nature's nature of his defenses and Mike Zimmer's nature of his defenses. Just look at their personalities. It's just going to be more sound. It's just going to be have more structure to it, which at first you'd be like, well, you know, wasn't that the good thing was how chaotic they created everything? I don't know. I think it's actually gonna be a little better when you kind of maybe get Micah pointed in the right direction a few more times and get all these guys playing on the same page. Because last year, so this is what my first thought was. It was kind of going into last year's wildcard game was one of my kind of lukewarm takes. I should have been a little louder one. Was like, I think the Packers are going to have their way with them. And it was because in the back half of the year, since week 12, they were 29th in success rate. 26th against the run, 29th against the pass. They were just bad. Jonathan Hankins, their defensive plugger, gone. Nose tackle, gone. And you could say, yeah, we drafted Mazi Smith. Mazi Smith is like a gap shooter. He's not like a plugger. He's big, but he's not like a eat up 2 blocks and let everybody else do all the fun work. That's what this defense kind of needed. But now you got Zimmer. And Zimmer's a true 4-down guy. They're a little bit more disciplined gap shoots. It actually kind of suits everybody a little bit better. So that's why, okay, Osa Odigizuwa, their other defense tackle, is really good. And he's another gap shooter type, not a lot of beef. Micah Parsons. DeMarcus Lawrence is very good. Linebackers, .. I'll just, you know, Clark had moments, but he's just okay. Kendricks is old. And that, again, I'm going to come back to that. But then the back end has got what got me excited. And Zimmer with DBs and with DB group like this, that speed and versatility, that has me excited because that's what Zimmer does really well with. And also, like you said, they can create a pass rush. This defense, my only hot take on this will be this defense will be first on third down this year. Because Zimmer's always up there. And this, I want to see what he does with Parsons on third down, because I think he'll, you know, they do all that double A gap stuff or over the center. He's going to just do that with Parsons. It's going to be insane. So I'm very, very excited to see this defense. But I'm going to tell you, when I first started putting notes down, digital ink to digital paper, I was like, yeah, 10, 9, maybe off the list. And then I just got higher and higher because Zimmer. Zimmer's brought me back.
I started watching when I was looking at this, I started watching Xavier Rhodes highlights. And I was like, why? I don't see why this couldn't be Trayvon Diggs next year when he gets back, if he can move. And like, dude, Zimmer's like, he's had a lot of good corners, and dude, this group is gonna make plays on the ball. They might.
He gives them opportunities,
right? Yeah, take some gambles and mess up every once in a while, but that's the name of the game. So I'm really excited to watch what he does, and that was the switch that made me put them back in the top 10. They're like, oh, they got Zimmer now. Like, they might actually.
I know. It was the draft show we did. They drafted Nealon from Western Michigan. And I was like, huh, that doesn't make sense to it. Oh, Zimmer's there.
Yeah, Zimmer's there. Yeah.
He's a big 4-3 DN. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Mike's and then apparently their seventh round pick is some big burly guy from Kentucky, Justin Rogers. And apparently, you know, I had some Cowboys fans say he's going to be our beef eater. Okay. Well, space eater. We'll see. We'll see. But that is 10 through 8. To recap, I had the Giants, Jaguars, and Bears. Charles had the Jaguars, Raiders, and Cowboys. Let's take a quick break to pay the bills, and we'll be back with the rest of our list. We're back. Rest of our top 10, or a chunk of the top 10. You know, might have to take another ad break before we get to the tail. But we're going to number 7 here. Charles, who do you have at number 7 for top 10 defenses in 2024?
I have the San Francisco 49ers. I don't really know what to make of
this whole team.
We feel good about the offense. We're unanimous best offense in the NFL. But on defense,
Trent Williams holding out.
The defense is interesting because I'm not really sure that they needed to fire Steve Wilks after last season. I know that it didn't go as planned, and you know, you get down to the end of the game, you get down to a fourth down, and the next thing you know, there's Chiefs confetti all over your head in the Super Bowl. I understand. I get moving on. But I don't really know if you know, changing from Steve Wilks to Nick Sorensen as your play caller is really, you know, fundamentally going to change the results all that much. But here's the deal. Like, sometimes you just have to nod to the personnel. And you have one of the best edge rushers in football, Nick Bosa. You have probably the best linebacker in football with Fred Warner. I really, really like their safety room with Jair Brown, Hufanga's back. They got our guy, Malik Mustafa, in the draft. And even the cornerback room. Yeah, I've always been a fan of Tre'Davious Ward. Lenoir, the other cornerback, is pretty solid too. So they have some dudes on defense. I do think it'll be interesting just to see like what shape it takes schematically, but I would imagine it will be whatever Kyle wants it to be in terms of that.
they've had three coordinators there, and they basically all ran the same stuff.
Same thing.
Until like third down, it was like a little, like Wilkes, I think, did a bunch of man. And I know that was like crazy that he did man coverage. The big questions for they ended up being my number 6 team, and I'm with you. This was the one that was okay. They have question marks more than I would like to have them at number 6, but then you look at the stars, and you're like, those are really good stars. Those are really, really bright, shiny stars. But that's the best linebacker duo, I think. Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. Fred Warner is the best linebacker in the game. Roquan Smith, I think, is the only one that up there as well. They're erasers in the middle of the field. That is such a cheat code to have. Of that, doesn't matter who the defense coordinator is, as long as those two can do that, that's awesome. Then they can put pressure on the quarterback. But the big question marks for me was, can they stop teams when they go heavy, when they get the bigger personnel? Can they add some new passing down wrinkles? Sorensen, they have Brandon Staley on staff. And even though Staley's, you know, tenure with the Chargers did not end very brightly or shiny or well at all, he was doing some cool stuff on passing downs. So I will give him that. I like him as like an assistant again to maybe sprinkle some stuff in. I would say, and then the quarterback room, who is the other corner? You just already mentioned it. Tre'Davious Ward's awesome. Demonador Lenoir is a pretty solid guy that can play inside and out as well. I think he's best as a slot player for them. But they were dead last against the run last year when teams went heavy in terms of success rate, because they match bodies, or they did at least in the past. So if a team went heavy, they went heavy with three linebackers on the field. That third linebacker was a huge issue for him. Or I think it was Oren Burks last year.
Yeah.
And then now Slenderman. They got. Yes. That's a great. Yeah. That's how he's built, isn't he?
Yeah. I know. 6'6", 215.
Yeah. Playing linebacker. I know. This is a long way for me to say I like the DeVondre Campbell signing. I like that. That was a good way to shore up what was a huge weakness for them. And I know that sounds so obscure, the third linebacker spot. And this defense, it mattered because offenses started punishing them. They were like, okay, cool. Well, we're going to get after Burks there. So I think they did some small things that I liked, and they just have the stars. So they also, yeah, you already mentioned Mustafa, and I think he might start for him by the end of the year. And I'm excited to see that because he's a fun player. So ended up putting him at 6. I think when it was all said and done, I maybe should have flopped them with the Bears, but they're still a top 10 defense to me. My number 7 team, which was your number 5 team, your 5 defense, I'm on the Ravens, a fan base that already loves us. But I another defense.
That was unbelievable.
That was, man. God. Look at our Lamar takes. Look at my Lamar and Dak takes. And Cowboy fans and Raven fans were like, God, these guys always just slander the Ravens and the Cowboys. And it's just like, but anyways, with the Ravens, love Madubuike. Michael Pierce had a nice year last year. Travis Jones is talented. Owe really has come along. Maybe we'll see a little bit more. We'll see if Ojabo comes back. Love Roquan Smith, arguably with Fred Warner, one of the best linebackers. Trent Simpson might not be as big of a downgrade as maybe people think from Patrick Queen.
I agree.
So, yeah, Patrick Queen, who was named like a top 5 linebacker, I think, on the Jeremy Fowler polling, which is what's with the NFL and linebackers? They just can't ID these guys.
It's like they see the first two and then they just quit on the rest. Like, not Fred or Roquan, so who cares?
yeah, I know. That's always just weird rankings. But, yeah, Roquan's still there. That's what matters the most. DBs are a lot of fun. Marlon Humphrey's fun. Kyle Hamilton's a star. Eddie Jackson from the Bears, fun ball hawk kind of player. So they just have a lot of smart, aware back end, a lot of ball hawks. The new defense coordinator, Zach Orr, I know people are really high on him, but this is his first time calling plays. So that's why I couldn't maybe just go, oh, yeah, they're top 5. So him and just the changes along the front, that is just maybe what has me from maybe anointing them. But if they're top 5 or even top 3, I wouldn't be shocked, because if they can kind of keep the good times rolling, like, this is a very good defense that does a lot of fun stuff and a lot of it's what everyone's going to probably be copying if they continue what McDonald was doing before. You have them a little higher than me, though.
I really like the defensive line. It's kind of interesting because I like the interior of their defensive line, because I think they can still beat you up there. Madubuike is a monster, and he got paid appropriately for what he did last year. You still have Roquan Smith in the middle. And like you alluded to before, I think having Roquan Smith makes having Trenton Simpson being your other starting linebacker okay. Because if he can run and he can kind of get in the way like Patrick Queen did, they will probably be fine.
Pick the center.
Right. it's kind of like having Jason Kelce on your offense, right? You know, someone gets to do the big
boost
boy
everyone
things.
Else.
That's Roquan. And then Trent Simpson can do what he does best, which is probably just going to be run really fast and make plays in space, mm-hmm. which is sometimes that's all you need to do. But what still gets me excited about this this defense is the secondary. Marcus Williams is a beast. Kyle Hamilton, we talked about him before earlier this summer. He is one of the craziest defensive players you'll see. He's like a pterodactyl in the box that can really do just about anything on a football field. And then even like getting Eddie Jackson to this point in the offseason, it just feels like that was where I was like, oh my God.
I like that.
Peak Ravens. Just, you know, go out, sign Eddie Jackson to a 1-year deal. And then I think people are going to be surprised at what they see from Brandon Stevens this year at cornerback. If you're not too familiar with him yet, I would say get familiar, because I think he's one of the more underrated cornerbacks in the league. And Marlon Humphrey, I feel like Marlon really gets underrated sometimes, because Marlon's one of those players where, like, the lowlights look really bad. Like, when he has a bad play, it looks like the worst play you've ever seen someone make.
Because he doesn't back down.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't back down. He doesn't back down. He's going to go out there and play press. He's going to be physical. He's going to be aggressive. You're going to get beat sometimes doing that. But more often than not, that's a really reliable player that you can have. And when you can have that skill set with that like play style, that's gonna be a big boost for your defense. So I really like the interior. I like the linebacker situation. I love the secondary. I think the edge rush could probably still use some work, but overall, like, the spine of this defense is still super duper strong.
Especially just how they play. It's the fact they have Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson and Kyle Hamilton. It's like three of like the kind of more heady, maybe gambly type of safeties all in the same unit. And that's kind of fun. Like, kind of like guys that they'll make quarterbacks, they'll punish quarterbacks if they kind of are a little slow on something or they try something a little too many times. Kind of like NCAA AI or College Football 25 AI, I've learned. Can't keep throwing that crossing route, Nate. You got to throw to Diggs sometime. Yeah, they're going to punish you. But yeah, I'm the fact that you had him top five, I actually forgot they had TJ Tampa that they got from Iowa State. I actually liked him. They drafted Nate Wiggins, so they do have some reinforcements at corner. Wiggins was, I like that. He was just skinny. That and I think Emmanuel Forbes really hurt him. Because I think that was in some people's heads because he's twitchy. He's got some ball skills. And
it was in my head. I'll tell you that.
I liked him. Yeah. We liked him. We always kind of pumped up on our mock drafts. We were good.
I like Nate. I like Nate Wiggins. I like Nick Tice. It's a good name. there was like just a little bit of fear with the Wiggins pick to me where it's like looking at the frame. But I do think he's like sturdier like in the frame of like actually playing football than Forbes was at Mississippi State. You know, it's not like he's getting tossed like off the screen constantly. So
he could say sticky. He was physical and stuff like when he wanted to be like physical receivers and stuff. It's just, you know, it's just another thing I would bring up. Marlon Humphrey is a phenomenal tackler. So you don't need another guy that's like physical and can tackle. Like, you know, you already got that. So sometimes it's like the receiver room. You want like the basketball lineup. Like you need a DB room that's kind of got different little, you know, character, cast of characters. So I didn't. He's a good spot for him and Eddie Jackson as well. But we already did both of our number sixes. That was the Bears and the 49ers, two teams we were pretty stoked about. Moving on to number five. Number five for you was the Ravens. For me, it's the Chiefs, who you are a little bit higher on than I am. I won't spoil it. You can say it. Where do you have him at?
I have him at three.
I like that. And
I'm why do you have my three?
I'm drunk on spags.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I love the secondary. The secondary is just,
I love what you're having.
McDuffie, like I went back in a couple weeks ago, I went back and I rewatched the Super Bowl. Dude, McDuffie was so good in that game.
Awesome.
There's just something cool about a lockdown slot player that aesthetically is very pleasing to me. So I'm still a big fan of this defense. But I guess I'm higher than you because you have them at five. I have them at three. When I just look at the two deep on this team, it seems really good. And I know who's calling the strings. I know who's calling the strings. I don't know. Maybe this is too simple of an explanation, but we've seen the past two seasons and they've steadily gotten better under Spags. And I think that this personnel they have, especially if they get anything from Felix, the Kansas State edge they drafted last year.
FAU, yeah. I get it. I know. I think my original rankings, I had them at three, and I just dropped them a little. And maybe it's just a Legarius Sneed thing. But then it's like they have reinforcements everywhere. Like you just said, they have depth. They have a defense that I don't want to say it's an island of misfit toys, but it's like because Spags is so unique, they can kind of get guys that others can't. So they kind of, you know, Leo Chanel is like the perfect example. Like he only can play in like three defenses like in the league right now. Like if you had him playing like, you know, Fred Warner, oh God. Like, but if you have him near the ball as a blitzer, as a run stopper, as kind of like a unique chess piece. Yeah. Spags uses him like that as a thumper and stuff. They got a lot of smart guys, physical guys. So Chris Jones is great. I mean, phenomenal. Happy with the new contract. George Karlaftis is a nice, nice, like number two to have on your D line. I was right there with you. I said Felix Anudike Uzama. I've practiced this name, so I'm going to show off.
I just called Felix the Kansas State. Yeah,
FAU is what I did for a while, but they bring guys along slowly. And I thought he's a DPR type, like a designated pass rusher type. But I like that, and I think they could use that pretty well. They can hide them better than other teams can. I'm sorry, but tackling was a big improvement last year. That's why Justin Reed rocks. Yeah, this is a top five defense. I think it's like, and they were the reason they won the Super Bowl last year with them and Mahomes. It was the defense of Mahomes. It wasn't the run game. It wasn't the pass catchers. It was, that's what it was. Have Spags in this defense and Mahomes. Get enough wins. We'll get you all the way there once we get into January and February, actually.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited to watch them again.
I am too. So that, yeah, I'm always with the Chiefs. It's just everything they do is fun. But anyways, we have got 10 through 5. We're going to take a quick break after this, but 10 through 5. Charles, you had the Jags at 10, Raiders at 9, Cowboys at 8, 49ers at 7, Bears at 6, Ravens at 5. I had the Giants at 10, Jaguars at 9, Bears at 8, Ravens at 7, 49ers at 6, and the Chiefs at 5. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the rest of our list. Tail on the list, the good stuff, well into the top four, the four horsemen, the final four. Who do you have for your number four defense this season, Charles?
I have the New England Patriots.
Love this.
And honestly, I even felt like I was shortchanging them a little bit, but I felt too good about the top three that I had. I couldn't quite crack the three that I have left. Well, we did talk about the Chiefs, so I guess, yeah, the last two. This defense, it's okay. So our friend Derek Klassen, he loves the Patriots defense for all the reasons that I think you should love about defensive football, because they just run through people's faces. And it's amazing to watch. And also, you still get to keep the continuity from Gerard Mayo last year, where he's going to just, you know, be promoted to the head coach. And I would imagine when you get a guy like Alex Van Pelt to run offense, that's probably so Gerard can stay in his comfort zone on defense and help out in that manner. So I think that the people should feel really good about where this defense is. And also, you get Christian Gonzalez back, which is huge for this defense, because he was playing really good football before he got hurt last year. And, you know, if you're going to look through the bastardized lens of what kind of injury you would like to have, at least he didn't mess up his legs. So he should still be able to run this year. And I'm excited for him to get back into it. And hopefully his rookie year lasts a lot longer than his second year lasts a lot longer than his rookie year did. But you still have Kyle Duggar, Matt Judon, Christian Barmore, even Keon White's a nice guy that can come in and plug the run.
Glad you mentioned him.
Because Keon White, I remember before the season, or before the draft season last year, I was watching him when he was with Georgia Tech. I'm like, man, I don't quite love him, but there's like two defenses that will really work for him, Baltimore and New England. And he landed with New England. And this is the kind of like, just the inside out guy that they kind of like, that doesn't really have maybe a true home at any position. But if you just move him around just
it's
enough
perfect for them.
Yeah, it's perfect for them. So I think that this defense is going to be fun. Everyone, especially at the linebacker level, like they'll pop you in the mouth. Maybe it's not the rangiest linebacker crew in coverage, but they have enough on the back end to make up for it. So this is definitely one of the best defenses in the NFL. And I think it's good that even Drake May gets to play with the defense like this just to help protect them on the back end.
Right. Give him some nice field position in your rookie year. If you are high on them, I'm even higher. They are my number two defense. I am pretty stoked to see this defense. They last year, even statistically, 9th in DVOA, 11th EPA per play, but played better than that. They're hard out. Like, they're a hard matchup for a lot of offenses. And even offenses that I think in theory should give them issues. Dolphins, maybe, you know, maybe the Bills, teams with a little bit more team speed. Bills might not be great, but they have Josh Allen and stuff. But teams that just have that more team speed that should be, you know, the counter to this type of offense, they're the ones kind of holding the pen last. They're the Patriots defense, I mean, were the ones kind of dictating everything and making things ugly on the offense. That was without Judon for most of the year, without Gonzalez, who you mentioned, who looks like a star. He looked fantastic from week one. Yeah, every much coming back, they run the same scheme. Christian Barmore rocks. Like, he's freaking awesome. I'm glad you mentioned Keon White, because I was going to make sure to bring him up. But they just got a lot of fun players. Marcus Jones, another fun player. They have the linebackers that work for them. Like you said, they're not rangy, but it works for what they do. So, yeah, this is my number two defense. I feel pretty good about it. I think this is a pretty easy top five defense when it's all said and done. I think it's going to really, really kind of help them out. Like you said, a young offense out. So that was your number four. My number two. My number four team is the New York Jets, who originally were a tad higher. And then I kind of had a couple hesitations as I started breaking this down. But
I understand them.
Yes. I don't want to steal your thunder yet, but I think the Jets, though, love Quincy Williams. This is one of my favorite players. Love C.J. Mosley. Even if he's getting older, it's a good pairing, speed, and got the smart guy. I always like that kind of pairing. We've already talked about that. But Sauce Gardner, awesome. Quinnen Williams, not Quincy, but Quinnen Williams, the brother, who is the actual star and one of my legit one of my favorite players at any position in the game is Quinnen Williams. That's the defensive tackle I love. You know, that's the Kevin Williams successor to me.
Yes.
You know, like,
that's a great comp.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's him. And yeah, so that I love him. But this is where some of my hesitation started coming in. I love their back end. I like DJ Reed a lot. He's a really, really good number two. Tony Adams, Chuck Clark, fun on the back end. I think they're going to miss Jordan Whitehead a bit. And the front is good. It's almost very good. It's just not as scary as maybe it was last year. Maybe that's the Hassan Reddick thing and his holdout in my head a little bit. But even, you know, Javon Kinlaw might be starting for them. Maybe this will be a better chance for him up front. Jermaine Johnson has had moments, but I don't think, you know, he's kind of gotten to tee off in good situations. Now he's taking on more of a role. Might be a little too much for him. So I think he's good, solid, but maybe not high end like I think other people think. So I just, their front, which I think is their identity, is more good to very good than excellent to elite. So that's where I maybe am just kind of hold my breath a little bit. And I kept them a little lower than number one or number two or three. I kept them at number four, which is still awesome. Still a top five defense, which could be exciting. But you have them higher.
I have them at number one. And honestly, it's just, I get the concerns because I have some of them too, where I obviously Quinnen Williams, that's, you know, a no-brainer, like all pro guy, future Hall of Fame talent if he keeps this up. Next to him, well, you're looking at Javon Kinlaw, maybe some Solomon Thomas sprinkled in there on like third downs. It's not great. I don't even know if it's as good as what they had last year. But still, he's so good. I think you can cover up some of that. The Hassan Reddick thing that's the wild card to me, because obviously they traded for him. They're going to have to play him because if they don't get to the playoffs this year, everyone's gone. So you gotta get him on the field somehow. And I think that is just such a dire situation for them that they probably will. So let's just put him back in there. That's going to help because I don't love like some of the other stuff behind Reddick. Were you looking at Will McDonald, who didn't really do all that much last year? Jermaine Johnson has kind of been the Trayvon Walker, like cleanup, like second tier kind of guy on a team, which is okay if you have a Reddick, and I think he'll be there. But what gets me so excited about this defense is the back seven. You know, you have CJ Mosley and Quinnen Williams, and then for my money, I think this is the best cornerback room in the NFL, where you have Sauce Gardner, who's...
This was the other team I mentioned with the Bears. Yeah. Yes, this team. Yeah,
he's a legit number one eraser kind of guy. I saw, you know, some unnamed NFL executive said he's overrated and holds too much.
Come on.
What are we doing here?
I know.
Like, that's like
be different.
That's what Patriots fans like 1776 on Twitter says. Oh, Sauce Gardner overrated. He holds too much. It's not
Drake
what you
May 420. That's
right.
What
yeah, Drake May 420. Like if you're watching this and you're like, oh, Sauce Gardner, he holds too much. I think you just don't like football, because how could you not appreciate he's an eraser? He's an eraser.
Only a few of those right now.
You're right. There's only a few. Yeah. And then even Michael Carter, I think he's probably one of the better like nickel corners
he is.
In the league. So you look at those three guys. I still think CJ Mosley is a good player, even if he can't run like he used to. And then Quincy Williams is just a hammer.
I know. It's so tough, man. Quinnen and Quincy. And I know. It's just,
yeah, I know.
It's hard.
I know. And they look like each other too, except one's 6'4", 300, and one's like 5'11", 230.
Who stole all the meals?
Right. No, it's funny because Quinnen does look like a supersized version of Quincy when they take their helmets off.
Funny. So funny.
But yeah, I think the secondary situation is passable probably. I know they hyped up Tony Adams a lot last year going into the last team. I don't think he was probably quite as good as they were saying, but still quality safety to pair Chuck Clark with that cornerback room, I think this should still be the best defense in the NFL.
It's gonna be a plus defense. Like, that's the thing. They're tough to throw against. Watch what they did to the Texans and CJ Stroud at the end of the year. Even when they had nothing to play for, watch what this defense was doing. And I know they've lost some of that personnel, but a lot of the cast, you know, the main characters are there. And yeah, that's you keep coming back to that even when their offense was doing nothing, I mean, less doing worse, they're doing more damage to the team than actually like to the other team. Their defense kept playing. So that attitude's always there. And I totally get it. I had them at 4, which was kind of my hedge, but I totally understand the one argument.
You know what play I'll never forget from last year's Jets season, and speaking of the offense shooting them in the foot, was it was the Black Friday game against the Dolphins where Tim Boyle threw the Hail Mary pick six right before halftime to Javon Holland. And oh, I'll never forget that, because
I forgot about that play.
That's the kind of stuff. And then, you know, this is where like the football psyche stuff kind of gets interesting to me, where people would be like, oh, the Jets defense quit. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, they quit.
Would you? On a Hail Mary?
What am I playing for? Like, we're throwing Hail Mary. We're throwing pick six Hail Marys 100 yards before halftime on Black Friday. And I'll never forget that, because, you know, I was home for Thanksgiving. And my dad just burst into my room. Did you see that?
And you're thinking it's gonna be like some awesome touchdown, and you're like, well, it's a touchdown. Maybe not what we expected.
Yeah, that's one of the craziest, dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. But
hey,
Aaron Rodgers is back from Egypt, so the defense has helped.
Apparently, he was tearing it up. His number one receiver today was Alan Lazard. I'm telling you, last year they had that drive of Rodgers to Garrett Wilson.
Oh man,
and those throws are burned into my brain. That I'm like, that's why I'm not like totally out. I'm kind of midway on the Jets offense, because it's like, I don't know.
They're in their own class of projections. Yeah. I feel like
they could be anywhere. It could be a top 8 or bottom 8. It could be bottom 4. Like, it could be.
I wouldn't
six.
Be surprised with any.
Wouldn't be shocked.
Honestly,
it could be 16. Yeah, all of them. We already did number 3 for both of us. That was the Cowboys and the Chiefs. We'll go to your number 2 team, because I don't want to spoil it yet. So your number 2 defense, Charles, go back to back here. Who do you got?
I have the Cleveland Browns. Shout out to our wonderful editor, Joey Galino, who I accidentally left him off the first time. And he sent me a text message Vegas is saying, you moron, how could you leave the Browns off the top defenses list? And to his credit, correct, because how could you do something like that? This is unequivocally one of the best defenses in the NFL. For the regular season last year, by just about every metric, they were the best defense in the league. They weirdly got buzzsawed in the playoffs by the Texans. Gave a ton of chunk
absolutely
plays.
Shredded.
In a way that was honestly kind of shocking to me. And also
one that didn't get overblown as much as, or not, I should say overblown. There wasn't enough reaction for actually what happened. I get we're all like kind of praising Stroud and everything, right, but it was just kind of like, really, in context, that was pretty insane. What happened in that game? Yeah.
Yeah. I also feel like, and maybe this is just me being wrong, I don't know, if you play that game 10 times, I don't know if that result happens again. Like, that's how good the Browns were on defense. Like, they, you know, but sometimes you just get shredded. But when you look at this defense, the secondary is really strong. You know, I know that Denzel Ward and Greg Newsom are probably more of like your casual fans, you know, expectations of what you're thinking about when you hear Browns cornerbacks. But Martin Emerson's a pretty good player too.
He's good, man.
You have obviously Myles Garrett up front. Za'Darius Smith is still a good player. Dalvin Tomlinson is here. They just have so many playmakers on every level of the defense. And even this is a situation where a guy like JOK, the linebacker that they drafted from Notre Dame, the small little speedy guy, this is a situation where he can thrive, because he doesn't have to be someone who has to take on a bunch of blocks and, you know, stack fullbacks in the hole. No, he can just run, because he's got dinosaurs up front that can beat blockers for him. And this is a spot where he can play well too. So I think that this should still be one of the best defenses in the NFL, barring injury. Jim Schwartz was perfect for this unit. They should be good again. Maybe you have some weakness at the second linebacker spot, but overall, it's hard to poke too many holes in this defense. And I also think, you know, we talked about the Jets and The Bears is the best cornerback room. The Browns, they're probably not too far off when you start looking at their top three guys. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Browns were, I came in not expecting this, did a little bit more studying, but they ended up my number one defense. So, they're your number two, my number one. And it was actually funny when we first entered into the Docker listings, I saw that you didn't have the Browns in there. And I was like, oh, this is going to be an interesting conversation. But I know defense, so it worked out great. But I know defenses are not supposed to be sticky, at least statistically. But I do think there should be some recent evidence entered into court because of what has happened recently with some of these defenses and how they've sustained success over the last few years for Niners, Cowboys. I know we say maybe those guys drop off, but just look what's happening year after year. Not as easy as the schedules last year. They faced a lot of bad QBs, a lot of rookies off the street and those types. But this is what I always come back to, and sometimes this is prospect scouting I come back to, when they're like, well, he only went against so-and-so. It's like, did they look dominant? Well, yeah, good. That's how they should look. Shouldn't a dominant defense make a bad quarterback look like a bad quarterback? Like that is the point of bad quarterbacks and why we call them bad quarterbacks. And that's, I started diving in. The Ravens had an outstanding defense as well. But the Browns' stats were even better. Like, this was one of the top defenses, at least by EPA success rate, those things, since 2002, period. Top 15, top 18, top 20, every metric that you look at. And everyone's coming back, essentially. They have true stars, true top player at position type players like Myles Garrett, who, you know, defense player of the year. They have a lot. This is a defense that has a lot of speed. They have a mentality that's infectious because of Schwartz and who their players are. You mentioned the back end. I like the DBs. I'm glad you gave Emerson a shout out. He's a good player. They've had layers. They have depth. They have four, five, six guys that can rush the passer, maybe more.
No, seriously. Okoronkwo
rocks. They drafted Mike Hall, who I was super high on in this draft.
This is a perfect situation for Mike Hall to develop,
because you can be a role player. It's Mo Hurst is still there. Like, they just have so many guys. They drafted that Ike guy from Baylor last year, the big beefy guy. Mm-hmm. It's just a defense that has speed, talent, tenacity, mentality, just everything. And that's why they're my number one defense and your number two defense.
Right. So yeah. They were one of the few defenses last year to beat up on our consensus number one offense, the 49ers, because they needed like a last second drive, and they really made life tough for Purdy. I think that was a PJ Walker game.
Debo got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, that was an ugly game.
It was a really ugly game.
Yeah, Debo and I think CMC got hurt, and then it was just kind of, that was such a messy game.
They got beat up.
Well, they had a statement week one. They played Burrow and Bengals, and they made them look, you know, Burrow had the calf, and they just made him look silly. Like, they couldn't get anything going. It was like one of the worst statistical performances in recent memory that we kind of were just like, oh, it's the calf. It's like, well, this defense is pretty good too.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I the one thing is Schwartz is Schwartz. Like, he runs his own stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that could be frustrating, and certain offenses can get him. But I want to see what year two looks like. Because if that was year one, now he can get him playing in a certain way. So I want to see the layers they add. So that was another kind of like check mark for them that could be a negative, but I think it's actually going to be a positive, because we'll see year two, year three, year four, we'll talk about, but I think year two, it's only going to go up a little bit more. So to recap, Charles, you had Jaguars at 10, Raiders at 9, Cowboys at 8, 49ers at 7, Bears at 6, Ravens at 5, Patriots at 4, Chiefs at 3, Browns at 2, and the Jets at 1. How many AFC teams is that?
It's a lot.
Seven AFC teams. Yeah, AFC is fun. I got the Giants at 10, Jags at 9, Bears at 8, Ravens at 7, 49ers at 6, Chiefs at 5, Jets at 4, Cowboys at 3, Patriots at 2, Browns at 1. A lot of similar teams, but enough differences. That was fun. Defense could be fun. That's why you rank them. That's why you do the top 10 defenses. But we'll be closing it out today. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Football 301. Matt Harmon will be on there. I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice on Twitter. That is Charles McDonald. You can find him at 4Verts. Please subscribe, rate, like. Please like us. Please rate us.
Please like us. Please clap.
Wherever the podcasts are, Apple, Spotify, all the good ones.
If you don't like it, I'm going to start saying the Mountain Dew is racist. Please clap.
Watch us on YouTube. So you can see Charles say stuff like that. YouTube.com/Yahoo Sports. We already got mailbag emails rolling in, apparently. Keep them coming. I love mailbag questions. You guys are smarter than I am. And I just get in my own little bubble about the Cardinals offensive line and third tight end. So I like your mailbag questions. Send your questions. The email is football301mailbag@yahoosports.com. Emails are great. Videos and voice notes are even better. So we can just, you know, we can hear you guys. Put a voice to a name. Put a voice to an avatar. That'd be nice. But thanks to Brett, Adi, Joe, everybody behind the scenes. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back on Tuesday. I'm Nate. That's Charles. Have a great weekend. We're out.